Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 is where we'll eventually get. A real quick recap of what we've been studying over the past month. It's taken us a month to get through 9 verses. So 1 Peter is going to be quite a long book. If you've been reading Peter, and I encourage you at times during the week, just go read what we're going to study. If you're like me, you'll find that each verse is full of stuff. It's not like other books where you could read 5-6 verses and they're saying the same thing, and you can, every verse has something in it that you can kind of expound on and spend time with and stuff like that. So I like 1 Peter. I like Peter. It's a good book, and he's a cool dude that we talked about. So so far, basically, what we want to understand as we move into verse 10 is Peter has been telling us that we have living hope and inexpressible joy because of Jesus. We have that. It's not something we need to search for. It's in us. We have a living hope. We have an inexpressible joy. Sometimes we don't feel that way, but it's there. And he's been saying that no matter what, despite our circumstances, no matter what's going on, we still have a living hope and we still have an inexpressible joy. The joy comes from the hope that we have in Jesus. So all the stuff that Peter's talking about, the hope, the joy, all the good stuff that we have comes through Jesus. Peter even goes as far as to say that the trials that you face in life, the stuff that we're going to face, how many of you face junk in life? Don't raise your hand. Every one of us do. Every one of us goes through trials. Every one of us goes through tribulations. Every one of us have things happen. But even despite those things, Peter is saying that Jesus is so amazing, that Jesus is so fantastic, that Jesus is so wonderful, that the things we have because of Jesus overshadow the trials that we have, that we still have living hope, that we still have inexpressible joy despite what's going on in us. And we talked about, and Peter even goes on to say that the trials that we face produce in us good things. We want to grow. There's a process that Peter talked about, or that we talked about probably 3 weeks ago, called sanctification, where we're growing and we're trying to change and we become more and more like Jesus. The trials that we face, not only do we still have inexpressible joy and living hope through those trials, God can use those to produce in us the character that he wants in us as we become more and more like Jesus. So trials are actually a good thing. Trials are actually things that produce in us what God wants. So we were joking around, how many of us pray that we want to go through trials? Not me. I pray to get out of them. But know that if you have Jesus, your hope never goes away, the joy never goes away, and in the midst of those trials, if you could take a step back every once in a while in the midst of a trial and say, wait a second, I have Jesus. I have hope. I have joy. So I can make it not only through those trials are going to produce something in me that is good. If you think back in your life when you went through stuff, if you're going through stuff, it's not easy. But when you went through stuff, did you grow from it? Did you change from it? Probably for the better. Of course you did. Now you don't look back and say, boy, I wish I could go through that again. But you've done that. Now I'm going to give you a bad example of trials and tribulations and how maybe if we would take a step back and realize that because we have Jesus, we have hope, we have joy, and we don't need to mess around. There was a trip that we took a few years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, we went to Colorado with the Reynolds, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it. We went to Colorado. Now, if you were to ask me about that trip, say, hey, Chris, tell me about that trip. I can promise you I'm not going to start with the beauty of the mountains. And the mountains were awesome. I love the mountains. I love Colorado. The weather was great. The air, when you breathe in the mountain air, it's just different than when you're breathing Tulsa air. It's just a wonderful place. And you can see God's majesty and you could see God's glory. And you knew that he was part of the whole creation. And you're like, oh, you're just in awe. That's part of the trip. But that's not what I focus on. I could also tell you that I don't focus on playing golf with Sonny and Wayland and Jaden and Logan. It was a great time. Got to spend time with Sonny. Got to spend time with the kids. We're playing golf in the mountains. Again, you're looking out. The ball goes really far when you hit it in the mountains because you're up in the air and it's really fun to do. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about the fishing that we did. What I'm going to talk about is the time we almost died. We almost died. It was not fun. I would not go through it ever again, but I will tell you the story. I would lead off with that trip. We're in a Jeep. We rent Jeeps, and we decide to go Jeeping. And we're having a blast. because you go up these mountain trails and you go down mountain trails and you're bouncing and you're it's a great time. And we had two Jeeps, Sonny's family's in one, my family's in the other, and we're just having a blast. It's a great time. And you have these maps, and these maps give you trails that you can go on, and some of them, almost like skiing, they give you, you know, this is dangerous, this is for beginners. For some reason, we decide to go on like one that probably wasn't even marked. It just should have been marked death. It should have been marked, don't do this. We wind, we are heading up a mountain trail. And you know, if a Jeep is this wide, the trail's probably this wide when we got towards the top of this mountain. So we're going up this mountain and we're at the peak. I mean, we're at the top of a mountain, like a really tall peak, because you can see all the other mountains below. It's huge and it's raining. So you're on a dirt trail in the rain. Now, Jeeps are meant to take this kind of stuff, and it's awesome. And maybe if it was just Sonny and I, we might have barreled on. But we're at the top of this mountain. It starts to rain. And we get to this point where you can see the trail go up like this, and then you don't see anything on the other side because we are at the peak. And the trail is really thin. And we're not. And the trail had been making turns, and my Jeep had been sliding a little bit. And I'm wondering, we kind of stop, and Sonny and I get out, and we're like, can we make it? Now, as we're out here talking, that's when the hail starts. So it's now hailing, and it hurts. Hail hurts when it hits you. And beyond that, there's lightning and thunder. So we're on the top of a mountain. It's lightning and thundering and raining, and we're on a trail that's about this wide, and our Jeep is about this wide, and we're not sure what's on the other side of that trail. So if we keep going up this trail, we may just fall off the edge. We don't know what's on the other side. So in the hail, in the lightning, in the storm, at the top of the mountain, which probably is not the best place to be when there is lightning and thunder and hail, Sonny takes off running a few hundred yards to go see what's on the other side of the trail. So he runs up, goes up, he comes back down, and Sonny's gung-ho, and you know, he's a man, and he wants, even he goes, I don't think we should go that way. So now we're on this trail. There's no U-turn place to make a U-turn. We're on the top of a mountain on a trail. So we have to back up and find a place just small, just big enough for us to turn the Jeeps around. And we picked a spot that had a tree, so in case we started sliding down, the Jeep would hit the tree. Suffice it to say, our wives were not happy with us, or with Sonny, I should say. It was my fault, it was Sonny's fault. So we go down, and I can't do it. So I get out, and I said, I'm not doing it. So Sonny had to back up my Jeep and turn it around. He had to get in his. He backed it up, turned it around, and we start heading down the mountain in the hail and the rain and the thunder and the lightning. Scariest thing I've ever gone through in my life. But it was awesome. When I think of that trip, that's the first thing I think of, is how awesome that trip was, how amazing it was, because we were on the mountain, in the thunder, in the lightning, in the storm, in the rain, in the hail, almost dying. It was scary. But that's what I focused on. That was the greatest part of that trip. And I think that sometimes when we go through trials and tribulations, when we're going, now again, I don't want to do that ever again. I wouldn't wish that on any of you, to say, hey, you need to go up on the top of a mountain with Sonny when it's raining and hailing. It's awesome. But I love the fact that I did it. That was an awesome experience, something that I learned from, never trust Sonny Reynolds, and something that I'll never forget. The trial that we went through, the scariness we went through, was really a cool time. When we were going through it, no, it wasn't. But after the fact, it was incredible. And I think if you look at some of the stuff that we go through, whether it be relationship problems or health problems or just work problems or anything like that, yes, going through them stinks. But after you make it through, you can look back almost with like a happy face on and say, you know what? It may have stunk, but I really grew from it. It may have stunk, but it was really awesome. It may have, you know, been almost death on a mountain, but I'm really glad I went through it. Does that make sense? Okay, I shouldn't say that makes sense, but that makes sense, I hope. So that's kind of what Peter was saying when he was talking about going through trials. We still have Jesus. We still have hope. We still have an inexpressible joy. So even in trials, even in bad times, we can still smile. And maybe not during those times, but when we get through them, we're going to look back and say, I see what Jesus was doing. He was growing me. He was teaching me. He was giving me something, an experience that I'll never forget, to teach me and to grow me as I go on and through my sanctification process. Okay? So, with God, this is the summary of what we have. With God, we have hope and joy because God is always with us And he uses the trials and life to help change us and grow us. So Peter's going to then continue in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Clear as mud, right? Peter's trying to say something here, and I'm going to give you... Peter, Paul, people in the Bible have a way of repeating things over and over so we understand. And Peter has already told us that we have a living hope in Jesus. Peter has already told us that we have inexpressible joy in Jesus, a joy and a hope that overcomes the trials. It should be clear, but for some reason he wants to continue to tell us how amazing God is, how wonderful God is, and what God thinks about us, and what God has done for us. So Peter, after telling us that we're elect, remember if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Peter tells us that we're elect. He says we're elect before the foundations of the world. And we went through this a few weeks ago. Before God said, let there be light, he had a plan, and his plan was for us to be elect citizens of heaven. We're sojourners on this earth. We're pilgrims on this earth. Our home is in heaven. So Peter, after telling us that we have a home in heaven, after telling us that we were elected before God even said, let there be light, that God had a plan to send Jesus to save us, and that's who we are, we're elect exiles, before that, before the foundations of the world, and when he did that, what he was trying to show you, that God is sovereign, that God is in control, even when you think he's not, he is. Even in the midst of those trials, we still can have hope, we still can have joy because God's in control. How do we know that? Because he elected us before he said, let there be light. God is sovereign, God is amazing, God is wonderful. He's in control. He fills us with living hope. Why do we have the living hope? Well, because of Jesus. And Peter broke it down to four things that we studied when he said, when he was talking about living hope. We have living hope because Jesus is alive, because God is merciful, because we have an inheritance in heaven waiting for us that is imperishable, that doesn't rust, that can't be destroyed, and because God himself guards us as we walk across this earth. As we walk, God is with us. This is the reason that we have living hope. And Peter tells us that because of that hope, we have the inexpressible joy that we talked about. Do you remember what we said about the joy? It's a spiritual joy that's also known as the joy of salvation. And it's not just a joy that is happy. It's a jump up and down, shout out loud. Now, maybe not physically, but inside, we have a joy that makes us just, that we can't contain. It's a joy that needs to get out. We read the part where David was jumping around and leaping like a fool before God. And the people were saying, David, what are you doing? You look like a fool. And he said, I'll look even more foolish because God's that awesome. That's the kind of joy that we have because of Jesus. Because of the hope we have, that's the kind of joy. So Peter showed us also, we asked last week, how many of you always feel that kind of joy in your life? And again, Logan was the only one who raised his hand because Logan is different. But everyone else is like, not often. And so Peter went in and said, listen, if you need the joy, if you need the hope again, there's a few things that you can do. Number one, we talked about reading the Bible and doing what it says. And then also learning to love Jesus again. We need to learn to trust him. We need to learn to have faith in him. So then Peter says, when he says in chapter 1, verse 10, concerning this salvation, he's getting ready to go into this verse. Concerning this salvation, what salvation? The one I just described. The living joy, the inexpressible joy, the living hope, salvation that he has been talking about. So Peter goes on and says this, concerning this salvation, the prophets, and he mentions the prophets for some reason, and we'll tell you why in a minute. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Peter's already gone over reminder after reminder of why we can trust God, of why we have hope and why we have joy. Peter is going to give us a lesson in the prophets and show that God, the God who guides us and the God who elected us before the foundation of the world, he wants to show us that the prophets were actually working for us. And that sounds crazy, but just follow me along here. That God, the sovereign God, the God who knows everything, who is in everything, when the prophets were speaking, they were speaking to us, for us. They were, in a sense, serving us. And I don't mean they were serving us like, you know, we're kings, but they were serving it. They were doing it for us. Okay? The prophets prophesied. The first thing to know is when prophets prophesy, God is speaking through them. If you don't know what prophecy is, it's when a man or a woman of God steps up and says, God says this, thus saith the Lord, and he speaks. You know, and you know the Old Testament prophets, some of them, David, Ezekiel, Samuel, Jeremiah, etc., etc. The prophets, so when they spoke, it wasn't them just guessing. Right now, I can sit here and say, I got a prophecy from the Lord. Let me tell you what it is. God loves you. Okay. I mean, he does. It is from the Lord. But it wasn't God's. I mean, and we can, well, we could really make this really kind of crazy, but we won't. In the Old Testament, when the prophets spoke and they said, thus saith the Lord, basically they were getting a message from God to speak to the people. Okay? It wasn't an educated guess. The prophets were close to God, and in Peter it says that they searched and they inquired all the time with God. So they knew who God was, they spoke to God, God spoke to them. So they knew who God was, they knew his character, they knew what he was about. So they could have made some guesses as to what God was going to do, but they weren't guessing when they prophesied. God was giving them the words to speak through the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking it. So when the prophets spoke, it was God speaking. 2 Peter again, this is 2 Peter, not again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Peter kind of mentions prophets, and it says this, and prophecy. He says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is men and women of God speaking what God has put in their heart. God's the one that's speaking. So God moves in men to talk through them. Peter says that they were prophesying about Jesus. So the Old Testament prophets, when they were prophesying about Jesus. So now when you go and read the Old Testament, you can maybe look at it in a different vein. When the prophets are prophesying, everything that they were doing was pointing or leading towards Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world. So Peter in chapter 1, verse 10, and 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 and 11, it says, who prophesied? The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and his subsequent glories. And then Peter says this about the prophets in verse 12. It was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but you. The you is who Peter's writing to. And remember, this letter is to Christians. So the prophets were not serving themselves, but you, through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. The prophets were speaking of things that all pointed to Jesus. Prophecy points to Jesus. Even if they themselves didn't quite understand what or who they were talking about, they did it because God was directing them. So God gave them a word. Even if they didn't understand, they still spoke it. Because back then, and we'll talk it, well, let's go to Daniel chapter 12, and I'll explain what I was going to say here. Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was a prophet. God told him many things to say, and sometimes he didn't quite understand what he was speaking, but he spoke it anyway. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is just part of it. And Daniel says, although I heard what God was telling me to say, I heard it, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, God said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So what he was saying was, Daniel, I'm giving you a word. I don't care if you understand it or not, go speak it, because it's pointing to Jesus. So no, you may not understand completely, but you're going to go speak it anyway because it's pointing about the Messiah. So here's where, if you're a nerd like me, you like to study things and scholars, here's where some scholars will split. Some scholars will say that Peter, when he talked about the prophets not knowing what they were talking about, they call that sensus plenior. May have said it wrong. And what that means is that when the Old Testament prophets spoke, when God gave them something to speak, what they spoke had two meanings. A meaning for the Old Testament people, and there was a hidden meaning, a Holy Spirit type meaning that wasn't going to become evident until Jesus came and people could look back and say, oh, so there's a hidden meaning in Scripture. So when the Old Testament prophets were speaking, they were speaking for them, and there was a hidden meaning that wouldn't be revealed until Jesus came. So they spoke and something was hidden. Others will say that people that believe that are overstating what Peter said because of the language differences. And what they're saying is the Old Testament prophets knew that they were talking about the Messiah. They knew that they were talking about God's plan for the earth. They just didn't know who it was. I'm not going to tell you which one is wrong or right because it doesn't really make a difference for what we're talking about. The point is that God used the prophets to talk about Jesus. Either way, the point Peter is making is the prophets spoke of the Messiah. This is true about the prophets in the Old Testament. They basically, when they prophesied, there was one of five things that they were talking about. The Messiah, not Jesus, because they didn't know it was going to be Jesus, but they knew that there was going to be a coming Messiah. So the prophecies were about the Messiah, about the Messiah's suffering, about the Messiah's glory, about the events that would lead up to the Messiah being revealed, and the salvation that was going to result from it. So five things. So all the prophecies that are contained in the Old Testament are basically about one of those five things or a combination of them. So when Peter says that the prophets were searching and inquiring carefully, they knew what they were talking about. They just didn't know the person that they were talking about. They didn't know who it was going to be, but we know it was going to be Jesus because Jesus came. So again, the point Peter's making is that the prophets, whether they knew or not, what they were prophesying, Peter says they were prophesying for us. They were prophesying for us before and we were elect before the foundations of the world. So if we want to talk about, listen, we have a living hope. We have an inexpressible joy because of Jesus. Boy, that's not enough. I know that God is merciful, and I know that God forgives me, and I know that I have an inheritance in heaven waiting for me, and I know that God is with me all the time, guarding me as I walk through this life, and I know that even in the midst of trials, I can have that inexpressible joy and that living hope. I know all those things. That's great, but I need more. Peter says, okay, you want more? God used the prophets to speak to you. So Moses, Samuel, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of the prophets, they spent their lives and sometimes gave their lives for us. So there's no question that God loves us. There's no question that God is for us. There's no question that God is with us because he, before the foundation of the world, set and planned this motion that was going to use. When I say Moses, that's Moses. When I say Samuel and David, when I say those guys, those are giants. They were speaking for us. God sent those people so we can have living hope and we can have inexpressible joy. I'm not going to say, does that make sense? Because I think it makes sense. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 38. I want to just kind of expound on the prophets that God sent for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Those are the prophets, and they did that for us. Those were the prophets, and what Peter is saying in these verses, starting in verse 10, is the prophets did that for you and me. The prophets went through that so we could understand who Jesus is. So if you want any more indication of God loving you and God being with you, and there's a reason for the joy that we have, and there's a reason for the hope, and if the inheritance isn't enough, and if God being with you, guarding you like a military is not enough, and if the graciousness and the fact that Jesus is alive is not enough, here's another thing you could put on the plate to show you how much God loves you. God sent the prophets for us, so this salvation, the one that we've been talking about, so we can have living hope and an inexpressible joy in that salvation. Amen? Amen? Cool. Okay, we're going to stop here for a minute.